Welcome to Bruderhof Radio, a bi-monthly program broadening the bounds of discourse on progressive thought and action. I'm your host, Andrew Zimmerman. This week on Bruderhof Radio...
Because, you know, just one drink, and I don't want to do it no more, you know, just... Because I drink one, drink another, and another, and another, and, you know, I'm powerless, you know, I can't change, you know, that's why, you know, I want to live with somebody, you know, who's a staff, you know, to work or cook good food, you know, and stop getting high and stop drinking, and I'm 100% better.
I may as well be honest. Working in progressive media, it's easy to get depressed. After years of covering the same issues, there seems to be little or no real change. Children continue dying in Iraq, innocent men are killed on death row, and the forces of corporatism and globalization go unchecked. Still, in the small corners of American life, positive things do happen every day. This week on Bruderhof Radio, we'll take a look at one such corner, a unique drug and alcohol rehabilitation program in Albany, New York. Co-producer Ben Wright has this week's story.
In the late 1950s, a new drug appeared on the streets of New York. Promoted primarily by organized crime, the insidious white powder spread through the five boroughs and into the vast, untapped jungle of America's urban landscape. They called it the heroin revolution. Within years, crime and unemployment had risen exponentially, and the streets of New York were looking more and more like a war zone. Then came cocaine, and later crack, sounding the coming death of America's inner city. Today, our culture has yet to recover from the effects of drug abuse. In February 2000, the prison population reached 2 million, with over half serving time for nonviolent drug-related charges. And despite the billions spent annually on fighting the drug war, use rates among teenagers rose steadily during the 1990s. It was with this knowledge that I approached Father Peter Young, a priest in the Albany, New York area, whose programs, I had heard, boasted 90% success in keeping men and women off drugs and alcohol. Schooled in the civil rights movement and inner-city parish work, Father Young had started the first detox programs in New York State prisons and was responsible for having changed the penal code to classify alcoholism as a disease. Later, with more than 41,000 men enrolled in his classes, he was shocked at the drastic rate of recidivism and left the state prison system in order to start his own much-needed aftercare programs. He's been doing it ever since. On a bleak afternoon late in March, I drove through North Albany's post-industrial wasteland to the small town of Menands. There, in the lobby of his hotel, the Schuyler Inn, I first met Father Young.
Okay, we have a full commercial hotel here, and we have then students. We have half commercial and half then program participants, students who are now in culinary arts, in hotel hospitality programs, and in that way we train people in a real-life setting where they'll be in the competition when they leave here. And we have the opportunity of working with the men and the women here because we're dealing with men who have had an addiction problem and will continue to have an addiction problem, but they'll be not drinking or drugging. They'll be living a positive lifestyle rather than a negative. And the important part that the men run into by way of an obstacle that we're trying what we can to overcome is when you have that record of a history of criminal justice and addiction, you can't get a job. People block you. It's an obstacle, an impediment to get a job. When you walk in and you got a five-year gap in your resume, you just don't get hired. We hire everyone. Everyone that comes in the program has a job. They're working here until they're then accepted, and I repeat myself again, accepted into a full operating or another full-time position. So we are guaranteeing, and therefore there's no gap. There's no, in any way, anyone falling between the cracks.
In a large room next door, tables are filling for the Wednesday night buffet. The restaurant, Father Young tells me, is famous with locals as a meeting place for people in recovery. That, and the food is excellent. I am seated next to a middle-aged man who says he's known Father Young all his life. Apparently, he's also in broadcasting.
What do you got, Dad?
No, this is my typical Moran's.
That's fine. Okay, Father Young and I go back to 1960. At Cardinal McCluskey High School, I first met him where he was a religion teacher, and also he was a football coach and a very effective disciplinarian when he had to be with those of us that might be up to mischief, if you can believe that might happen in a school sometime with kids.
Across from us is a woman named Lorenda, who says she was one of the first women to complete the program years ago. I ask her what she does now, and Joe, adopting his radio personality, holds the mic. A kind of ad hoc interview follows.
I decided that I wanted to give back what was given to me, and so I started working at Eleanor House, first driving the van for the women. It is for women and children. And now I'm counseling at our Altamont Rehab up in Altamont.
Why do you think the Eleanor House program is worthwhile? There are so many organizations out there that need support. What makes the Eleanor House special that people would want, you feel should give their money to Eleanor House? Why is it so special to you?
It's special to me because it's given me my life back, you know, and it's made me a responsible mother and a productive tax-paying citizen, you know. And I believe these women want to do that, you know, and I think they should be given the chance to do that, you know.
How many clients are there now?
Right now there's about 27 women, I believe, and about 15 children.
What's a typical day like in Eleanor House?
Oh, wow. Mothers, children running around. it's like home, you know. They're cleaning and cooking and trying to maintain, you know, and at the same time keep their sanity, you know, have some kind of sanity.
As they speak, my eyes follow Father Young across the room. He is laughing, caught between conversations at tables here and there. In the back, a bar has opened, and a young woman in black and white is seated behind the counter. Her name is Crystal.
I was surprised when I came in here to see a bar and that you serve alcohol on your menu, and I'm wondering, with people who have been through detox and who are recovering working at this restaurant, how that works.
Actually, my drug of choice is not alcohol, so it doesn't affect me. But personally, I think that it has affected other people in a one way or another.
So are you planning on staying in the program?
Definitely. I'm the banquet manager, night banquet manager here. So I'm planning on, like, this is like real good for me to come back and, you know, give back what I was given. You know, help the other students along. This is a really hard, because, you know, the training process is like really demanding, especially in this field, because we have late hours, early hours, you know. There's days where you work 12 hours, and, you know, I mean, it's a really demanding field, so I want to give back what I was given.
Do you feel like you can help other people more because you've been through what they're going through?
Definitely. Definitely. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I was there in their position where they're at now. I was there, and I think that once you get into recovery, it's really hard to get back, you know, your self-esteem. Yeah, everything, your personality, I think everything changes because people have put a label on you that you're a drug addict, you're always going to be a drug addict, you're always, you know, you're going to use, you know, I mean, me personally, I have no desire to use drugs anymore. I want this, I want the recovery piece to stay with me for the rest of my life.
I started drugging about 1980.
Rudy Bravo is head of catering at the Schuyler Inn. I found him polishing glasses for a banquet the following night.
I used to do crack, heroin, marijuana, pills, acid, alcohol, anything you name, I'd done it. Quaaludes. And used to be in and out of jail for the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And it's time for, you know, for me to stop, you know, and get a change in my life. And I got out of jail in 1990. That made me realize, you know, I don't need to go back to New York City where I was born. And I came up here to Albany. I met Father Young in prison. He helped me out. He told me I could change a life and give me a new way of life, help me get a career, place to stay, live. And that was in 1990 when I got out of jail. And since then, Father been helping me out, you know, and I just wanted to share the experience with other students and make them realize that this is the way to go.
What do you think would have happened if you came out of prison and there wasn't a program like this for you to get into right away?
I would probably end up back in New York City, drugging, doing the same old things, getting paid, as we call it. There wasn't a program like this. That's what I would be doing. You know, I'm glad there is a program. I'm glad I met Father Young, and he helped me out a lot.
What do you think about prison in our society? Is it a way of helping people? Does it give people any step towards rehabilitation? Or is it just a way of warehousing people, and is it an easy way out for the politicians?
I think definitely it's an easy way out. You know, I think it's a waste of money, personally. Prison, you don't want to be in. Definitely don't want to be in. That's, you know, it's years off your life, you know, that you could make up out in the street, you know, and do good. There's no rehabilitation in prison. I mean, they got prisons that have drug rehabs like Father Young. They have ASAP, what we call, when I was in prison in McGregor. And that helped out a little. That's how I got to meet Father Young. And with prison, it's just like a revolving door. You go in, you come out, you go back in again. I don't think it's a way of trying to rehabilitate you, no. Definitely not. I think you need to go to programs like this to give you that tool, to give you a stepping stone into the right direction. And this is what Father Young got available for everybody who needs it.
He leads me back into the kitchen, where a group of men are poised around the dishwasher. One, whom I recognize as our waiter, seems willing to offer information. I ask for his name.
My name is Bob Quickington. Started doing drugs, drinking when I was about 12 years old. Progressed until I started doing crack cocaine at the age of, say, 18. Wound up in prison around 30 years old, quarter 2 to 4. Got out of prison. Parole mandated me to come here. Wound up coming here and turned out to be a pretty good program. Been here a little over a year now. Been clean for almost 2 years, and basically this program turned my life around, you know, to make it short and sweet.
What would you just say to policymakers and politicians and the people in government who keep the money coming to social agencies like this? Why is this program important?
It's important if they want change. You know, people coming out of here do change. You know, I'm living proof of that. But if they don't want change, see, a lot of people think it's like a conspiracy. They want to build more prisons, which create more jobs for mostly Caucasians, and the Hispanics and the blacks particularly are getting stuck in that cycle. You know, they don't care if they build more prisons. They can build more prisons and build more prisons and build more prisons, and they're just going to lock people up, and they're going to get back out, and they're going to create more crimes. So these politicians, if they want safe streets, you can't put these people in prison for X amount of years and get out and expect them to live civilized. They're not gonna. So one way or the other, they are gonna come back to society. It's a matter of how do you want them to come back to society. Worse, which 9 out of 10 cases, you send somebody to prison, they come back worse than they did when they went in. It's not like they go into prison and come out upstanding citizens. So programs like this, that they gradually teach people to be taxpaying citizens, you know, normal human beings. It's, you know, that's basically what this program will do. And it's not guaranteed by any chance. I mean, I don't know what the ratio is for success rate around here. It's not, I'm sure it's less than 50-50. But for the, say, 30 or 40% that do make it, that's worth it, in my eyes.
I think Father was saying it was a 90% success rate, at least in his program. Does that surprise you?
Yes. I mean, I don't want to contradict what he's saying, but I think those numbers are a little off. 90% is, that's a lot higher. I mean, from the people that I came here with, I know over half of them have relapsed. More than half. And from what I witness, you know, I mean, I've been here over a year. I've watched, you know, 5 or 6 different classes come through here, and a majority of them relapse. But out of each class, there are that select few that make it. So who's to say, you know, what numbers do we say it's worthwhile? Is, you know, if you save one, is it worthwhile? 2, 3, 4? Who's to say what the number is? But it's not 90%. I'd almost guarantee you that. But not to contradict what Father's saying, but,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not 90%.
But if it helps one person, it's worth it.
In my opinion, yes. And it does. There are a lot of, I mean, if you look around, I know Rudy and Chance, and there's a lot of people, the general manager of this place, have all come through this program. They're all success stories, you know, so there are success stories here. Not as many as failure stories, because with addiction, you're going to have people that relapse. It's going to happen no matter what. But you will have success stories, and there are a lot of them here. So for that select amount, it's worth it.
You're listening to Bruderhof Radio. We'd like to hear your comments and questions. Give us a call at 1-800-778-8461 or visit us on the internet at www.freespeech.org/Bruderhof. And now, we return to Ben Wright.
As the evening went on, I was struck by the consistency with which these men and women seemed to offer the most intimate details of their past. No less striking was the sense of camaraderie and loyalty they felt to one another, and to Father Young. I turned away from the main building and walked across a courtyard to where a door was standing open some 50 feet away. On it was written in large letters, Trauma and Brain Injury Recovery Center. I sat down next to a man on the bench just outside the door.
My name's Ben.
Hi, Ben. How you doing today?
All right. Are you here in the program?
Yeah, I'm here in the program till next September. Not this September, next September. And I'm going to live over there in Latham. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get an apartment and do a very good job. So,
how'd you get into the program?
Well, because I got arrested for, you know, bopping a couple. I thought they were over 18, and there's like couple that are 16, and that's why they busted me, and I'm sorry, I'm going to do no more, and it's going to go on.
Has the program helped you?
Yes, it has. Very good, very good.
How has it helped you?
You know, just to understand, to do what you got to do, go to group, and make sure you're there on time, and go to AA and NA, and because, you know, first of all, it sucks, but now, that's a lot better, you know, because I did do AA and then they drunk and stuff. So, but now I'm clean, so I'm all right.
And you want to stay that way?
Yes. All I'm right. Always going to stay this way, okay?
All right. Would you recommend the program to other people?
Yes, everybody. Because, you know, just one drink. And I don't want to do it no more, you know, just because I drink one, drink another, and another, and another. And, you know, I'm powerless, you know, I can't change, you know, that's why, you know, I want to live with somebody, you know, who's a staff, you know, to go with me forever, you know, and to stop drinking, you know, just to do something else, you know, to work or cook good food, you know, and stop getting high and stop drinking, and I'm 100% better.
By now, more participants have come out of the building, and I turn to see Derek, a kid of about 16. He is small, nervous, and wears cargo pants and heavy glasses.
Hi, my name is Derek. I'm an addict, and like, should I say my life story, like a little bit of my life? Anyway, I was born down in New York City, and I moved up here shortly after to, like, right outside Newburgh. And, like, my life, then I got an accident, my brother shot me, and after that, my life went downhill. And, like, I just started smoking trees and everything, getting blazed. And then I started robbing people's houses, got sent to a psych center, a group home, a rehab, and now I'm here. And I love it here, you know what I'm saying? Real good program. It helped me realize it's the best program I've ever been in, you know what I'm saying, man? That's that.
How did you find the program?
Oh, like my primary counselor at my other rehab found it for me, you know what I'm saying, man? Like, because this program is way better than my other program, man, because my other program, you had to watch your back all the time, and you had to watch out for kids not stealing your clothes and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, man? And like, you got four roommates, one allowed to listen to TV, listen to radio, you know what I'm saying, man? So
you think your life has changed from the program?
Yes, a lot though. Like the other place helped me out too, but this program, I've only been here like 2 weeks, and I already could see, because when I came here, I had real low self-esteem, you know what I'm saying, man? But it's getting built up there, man, and like
what are your goals for the future?
Stay clean and sober, that's the number one goal, man, and like, I'm going back to school, I want to get my high school diploma, man, and that's that, and I'm going to try, after this place, if I stay a year or a little longer, or I think even less than a year, they hook you up with your own apartment, they send you to college and everything. Like, I ain't all that good at reading, but practice makes perfect, you know what I'm saying, man?
It's weird talking to Derek to realize that he was in a coma for almost 2 months last year, kind of like coming back from the dead. But as Father Young tells me, climbing the stairs to the second floor, all of them are back from the dead. We enter a room full of men, their eyes fixed on the television.
Did you see what Chuck did to Patrick Ewing the last time out? He pumped in 43.
Yeah.
He thundered him. Poor Patrick. Age is an awful thing.
As the room quiets down, I interview four or five. Most are new to the program and have come directly from prison.
These guys are trying as they can to do any kind of an interview, a program participation. I don't know whether anyone would be interested in talking to them.
Yeah, this is Albany. Recovery capital, you know. I've heard of Father Young through Mount McGregor, and I got a lot of friends up here that's in recovery, you know. And I left prison, I decided to go home, and after a while I relapsed because I wasn't working the program. You know, they say, meetings, sponsor, you know, network, support group, you know, none of that I, you know, withheld, so, you know, I failed. I was out there active in my addiction for a little bit, and then I just decided I'd come back.
Next door, another group of men are watching an R-rated film. I intrude, asking the same questions.
No, it's not really the program. It's you working the program. You got to have a desire to stop using. You know, any program dealing with NA and AA will work for you. And you have to have a higher power. I have to have a higher power. You can't make it a no program. And that I know in my heart to be truth. Now, before, it never worked for me.
Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Not a problem.
Yep, okay. See you guys.
Outside, it's getting late. We climb into his car and head south on Route 787 toward the center of downtown Albany. As he drives, Father Young points to various buildings in the neighborhoods we pass through, describing one of the programs or connecting it to recent developments in the drug war. He's like a general, almost, planning his next offensive. Father Young's empire competing with the drug empire for control of every town.
Now we're heading into Albany, and as we're driving down the highway here, heading into a building called the Ida Yarborough Housing Project. It's a public housing authority where the building was at one time 30% occupied, 70% vacant, because the building was taken over by the drug world. Now the house is the kind of model that we're proud of. There are 100% utilization of apartments. Every apartment, about 380 or so apartments, are all completely filled. It's the pride of the housing project. It's the pride of the community. People are delighted to live there. And we now have a store, and I'm on my way there now, and I'll show you, and maybe we can grab a piece of chicken.
I think this store is open until 11 o'clock. Maybe 10 or 11, I'm not sure.
The store is officially closed, but not with Father Young in town. Behind the counter, Kevin nukes us all a piece of chicken, and we stand around talking and licking our fingers. It's a ritual end to a long day.
I just wanted to ask you, how does the community feel about the store here, and does anybody know you guys are part of a program?
Yes, they know that most of the people in the building are part of the program. You know, they all came through the program. And here now, we all work together. You know, they know the cause that we're working for, and we all work together. You know, like if we have to do something over there in the Chester's Chicken, and we come over here and we're not over here, they look out for us and they help us a lot, you know. And everything, most of the time what we do, we see what the people inside the building like to eat, what they like to order, and we try to order it to make it comfortable for them so they can come inside the store and buy it. And it works. It's good. We'd be selling. Every week we'd be selling. It's coming on great. The business picked up. And I feel good. Plus, it's a pleasant attitude to have with the customers, too, you know? And it helps. It really helps.
I thank Kevin for the chicken and move to the back of the store where Father Young is deep in conversation. He stops, introducing me to Tyler, a tall, confident man with graying hair and an aura of leadership. The two have known each other for years.
Well, you know, I would like to say one thing, and I've had this conversation with Father Young in the past, and the fact that, you know, I have walked around knowing, even in my despair on the street, that I did have potential. But because of the disease of addiction, I had no viable means to get out of it. And it wasn't until I actually came here that I was given the context under which a person like myself could recover and could reach my potential. And for that, I'm grateful to Father Young. And I also always tell Father Young that we have an obligation to keep these doors open for other people like me, so that there's a place for them to come and so that they can also recover what they lost and probably reach their potential too. You know, and I understand that the way I live today determines the opportunity somebody else might have that comes behind me, you know. And, you know, I'm committed to making sure that I provide that path because I know what it feels to be lost and not have any hope.
Back in the car, I struggle to reflect on the day's events. For Tyler and Derek, Rudy and Crystal, and all the many others I had spoken to, life would remain a conscious decision between drugs and reality, heaven and hell, rehabilitation or incarceration. There was nothing in between. And yet, all felt an urgent responsibility to help others get free of the cycle they were in. I sat quietly for a minute and then asked the difficult question I knew Father Young had been dreading. Would the program last?
97% of the men and the women that we do have are in recovery, and therefore we're sure, as the recovery has happened in their life, that they will continue. I am in no way able to stop their wonderful road of recovery. They are on a mission. They're making it happen, and I'm only congratulating them and being able to work with them on their coattails. So I go back, and again, I have hope that it's going to continue. I have no worry. I mean, we may not have the resources to do what we want to do to make it happen, but there will be a strong commitment and a continuation of what we're about long after I'm dead, and I'm happy about that. I feel safe and sure of that guarantee.
That's all for this edition of Bruderhof Radio, a special report on Father Peter Young's drug rehabilitation program in Albany, New York. This program was narrated by Ben Wright and produced by Andrew Zimmerman. Bruderhof Radio is a production of the Bruderhof Communities, a communal movement based on Christ's Sermon on the Mount, in particular the teachings concerning brotherly love and love of enemies, mutual service, and nonviolence. Money and possessions are pooled voluntarily, and in turn each member is provided for and cared for. For further information about the Bruderhof Communities, or to order tapes and transcripts of Bruderhof Radio, give us a call at 1-800-778-8461. Again, that's 1-800-778-8461.